Jesus went right ahead and gave his charge, and God authorized and commanded me to commission you and go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this day after day after day, right up until the end of age. Now, I like to just share a quick story and with no emphasis on us, but of a way of thinking. It's been also pointed out this morning that I also am was raised, I'll say, in trying to be a reforming legalist. Is that the right thing? Not doing so good at it sometimes, because I've come to find out when you meet people that has been raised a certain way, or they've had and I've heard Steve say many, many times, you know, that we're raised in the church and there's lots of rules and all of this, but really, when I thought about the Great Commission and where to go, the first thing it meant to me is just going somewhere else and giving your money at church on Sunday morning, and then maybe going a far country or something, and never really bringing it right down. And so looking back on my own life since we were married, Mary and I have been involved many times, and more than one time, in developing new church buildings. And now that I think about that, if I had it all to do over again, I wouldn't nearly be involved in so much in building buildings as I would as trying to build relationships with people that I come in contact with. So it's to me, it's in the past few years now, and I have tried to really to do that, and it's really near and dear to my heart. And it takes a being a conscious of this on a daily basis, every day, no matter who you come in contact with, that you can be ready and be willing to say something and to possibly promote the Lord Jesus Christ, and also then to develop a relationship one-on-one, or however it may go with that particular person. And having said that, Mr. Cromer here is going to challenge us, I think, with many different ways of how that looks like, or what it looks like in our own lives. And if we are aware of that, you know, on a daily basis, I think it each of us can do it. And it's just like I was talking to my wife this morning, it's almost like our Christian walk with the Lord. It's also something that might not happen, you know, the very first time, and we might not be the very best at it, but if we are conscious of it and can keep that in mind, no matter who we come in contact with. And I could stand up here and tell stories all day long. To me, the Lord doesn't, everything that the Lord has in mind for us there's no surprises, and the Lord has a plan for all of us in what on a daily basis. And I could stand up here and tell stories, if you're aware of that, every day in this past week that I have come in contact with someone or something, sometimes, you know, it's just a word or two, and sometimes I'm looking for a spot to develop, you know, where I can meet this person again, and then it all comes down to one-on-one, and I'd have many stories, but I'll let Mr. Cromer get started with his, so I don't want to take all the time. Thank you.
No coincidences, right? I mean, those people are put into your path for a purpose. So there's no coincidences at all, and our part of that is to be open. My neighbor tells me to be open all the time, and we've heard it many times. You know, you have to think to be open. I mean it to the Holy Spirit, be open, and to people, okay? He alluded to the buildings, and the older I get, the more I'm convinced that it's not so much as come and see. There has to be some of that, but almost all of it is go and be. Okay? We're going to talk about the Great Commission, and there's a piece about the world in 1 Corinthians we're going to talk about. I don't know if we'll get to that today or not. Okay, you're going to hear him and Johnny and I talk about two words a ton. You'll be sick of them, but I hope you remember them. We have to be intentional. I'll tell you that one of my favorite sermons, I don't know how many sermons Chris Kistler has preached, a bunch, but when he was talking about the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip, and he says, what'd he say? Go over by that chariot. And what is it for us? Go over by that, what? Shopping cart, tree, garden, guy. And most of us are too chicken to do that. We're not going to go over there. God told us to go over by whatever. And frankly, most of us don't do that. And I have not done that far too many times. So we are going to be intentional, and we are going to engage people. So I want you to write those two words down. We are going to be intentional, and we are going to engage people. So this is your first little question here, and you write it down. We'll take 1 minute. I want you to write down who has invested in you. Write down maybe, try to think of two or three names, okay? Who has invested in you? Okay, who wants to tell me some? If you don't volunteer, I'm just going to call on about four people. Mary.
Ruth Ward.
Ruth Ward. Yeah, mine would be Paul Hatfield in those days. Oh, okay. Oh, they engaged you. That's odd. Write down a list of names of people you are investing in. One or two or three. If you get 10, you'll have the record, and I want to know who has 10. But what do you say you're investing? So what is it that you do? What are you doing? That's going to be our next question. What does investing mean? What does investing look like? What are you praying together? Are you shopping? Are you, I don't know, making tamales? Tell them about a little bit about Nick and Rachel, about their competition and what you were doing with them.
Mary and I have a couple, and this starts way back about 8 years ago, and I had this young man coming to my house, and who was not a Christian, that I definitely, but he was the most well-mannered person. He was very, very. If I said something to him, I could tell he was listening. And so he has been on my list, and people that try to bring to the Lord for many years, okay? And then in the past 2 years, he got married, and now they have a little girl. And then after, on with the story just a little bit, I found out he needed some help with some stuff he was doing at his house. So the next morning I was to meet him at 8 o'clock, and his truck wasn't running, so we had to go pick up some parts. He gets in my truck, in my van, and we're driving down the road, and he's just out of the clear blue. He says, "So when's the Lord coming back?" I says, "Well, I don't know that, and it says in the Bible that only God knows that. He's the only one. Not even Jesus himself knows that. So, no. So I don't know that, and if we figure out and gets the answer to that, you know, we'll be really doing really well." And then we go on down the road just a little bit farther. I had challenged him that when they left that they should start learning the books of the Bible, because when they got there, they didn't even know that there was an Old Testament and a New Testament in the Bible, you know. So at least they knew that when they left my house. So I also gave him this card. And so, and I had stuck another new card in my pocket that morning as we were going down the road before I met him. And he says, "You know, I've been working a little bit last night." And he says, "But I want to get those books down in the Bible, because I want to beat my wife. I want to know them before she does." And I said, "I just happened to bring a copy." So before we got over to where we were going, he already had pretty well memorized the New Testament. And And then a day or two later, his wife said the same thing to me, that she wanted to move the books before he. I didn't tell him, you know, that he'd already known the book. Anyway, so they're in competition with each other now, learning the books of the Bible. So it's really been interesting. Thank you. Okay.
I just thought that was a good example of what you do, or something you can do.
Building trust.
Well, it's developing a relationship, but those kind of stories remind me of when Paul was making the tents, because he already knew how to tent. Who did he make the tents with? What do you think Paul's doing when he's making this tent? I mean, what they didn't have a machine, you know, he's probably sewing it. What was he doing to those guys, with those guys?
Sharing life.
Same exact thing that these guys were doing while they were canning tomatoes. You know, Paul had tents, they had tomatoes, so... It doesn't mean that you have to have a class, right? You do something together, talk about Jesus, learn the books of the Bible. It's pretty simple. Okay, now you guys said you investing, so what are some other things you're doing? Well, how does that look like? What is it? What are you doing? Well, you're guiding the conversation in the talk. We're not talking about a video game. We're much specific. Okay, what else? I do the same thing, Renetta, so I get that. Well, that's kind of what I'm getting at. To me, and it took me a while to think this through and develop this. We didn't get this out of any book. We're just making it up as we go along, pretty much. But I mean, we stole some things, of course. there has to be some sort of spiritual emphasis, right? You can't talk about guns or cows or whatever it is you like forever. I mean, even that gets boring. So there has to be a spiritual focus to what we're doing, right? Whether it's the books of the Bible or whatever it is, how are you being salt and light in the world this week? Or what was the last thing you read in the Bible that changed how you thought? Or what was the last thing you read was something new for you? Things like that is what, in my mind, how you have to have conversations like that. We haven't done anything for a long time, so let's study a book of the Bible together. Those are things that you do together. Yeah.
But the other side of the, you know, during that 8 years, they weren't the only people, you know. It's everyday life and who you come in contact with, yeah. You know. And so, you know, you've got people that just like are in our own lives. It's at all different stages in our life. So, you know, you're working with people in all different stages, too, as you come in contact with them.
Yeah, to me, you find that out by asking a million questions. I love asking questions. He's better at it, me, because he can actually drive you nuts asking you questions. But when you're done, you know exactly what that guy knows and what he doesn't know and what he likes and what he doesn't like and what he wants to do and what he doesn't want to do and on and on and on. That's the only way you can do it is by asking questions. He laughs, him and Chris. I was like, can I come over to your house? Well, I don't care. I'll invite myself to anybody's house. But some people are taught not to do that it's not polite, but it doesn't bother me any. So, and many times, you know, I'll just say, you know, I'm going to ask you, I have a personal question. You don't have to answer it. I don't care. I don't have any ego left. If you don't want to answer it, just say no. But I want to ask you a personal question. I've done that, I don't know, hundreds. I've never had anyone say no, not one time. And so you just, I don't know what that's really boldness or just being dumb, but it does work. And that's the only way you find those things out. We had a wheel, there's a wheel in that. I forget the name of that piece of material that was in, but you know, there's ways to gauge where a person is on that pathway to maturity. I'm going to assume that I really don't know. I'm going to assume everybody in here is doing at least one. Could we do another one? So how do you pick out who you're going to adopt? How do you pick out who you're going to approach? What are some of the things? I wrote down four things. Johnny said one of them. You know, you got to be open. God will put somebody in your path. What are some of the elements of that? I'm just making this up, but let's just say that we're all doing one, but we, in our heart of hearts, we know we have room and time for one more. So how do we find that person? Okay, well, the first thing to do is pray for somebody. I mean, you know, if he wants us to be salt and light, that means my next door neighbor that's over there in the garden. I stopped and talked to a guy in his garden. And one of our neighbors told me this guy's wife died. So I thought, I didn't even know it. I never talked to him. You know, he's about a mile away. And frankly, I didn't think he liked me. So I stopped in his house. And I just stopped, and he was in his garden. He has a great big giant garden. I says, Jerry, I'm sorry. I did. Has your wife died? Did your wife die? He says, no, she's not dead. He said, she had a stroke, which was bad, and it was a bad stroke. But he said, she hasn't died, but she had a stroke. And he just had this puzzled look on his face. You know, his eyes were like that. He says, and I said, we talked a bit, and he just kept like I thought, well, I know he knows who I am. And so I said, well, and I did what Brad does, and you've done this, but I said, well, okay, I want to pray with you. And he said, yeah, I mean right now, Jerry. And so I put my arm around him, and we're in the middle of the tomatoes, you know, and I prayed for him. And he still had that look on his face, and he says, well, I thought you were the mean guy. I said, I don't quite get that, because I don't usually hear that about myself, but could you explain to me what that is? He says, well, you've never talked to me. I said, yeah, well, I'm sorry for not talking to you. And I said, however, that road goes from here to my house too. So he said, oh, I know, it goes both ways. And I said, well, I'm going to do a lot better job of talking to you. And now he's in our D group, and his wife did die. I was the first guy he called when his wife died. And he's in our group, and he loves us, and he wants to do stuff. But I mean, that's just an example of being open. And I don't remember even what I was talking about now, but
your group also is one that did the firewood with him, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. We cut a ton of firewood, 2 or 3 years worth of firewood one day. Maybe it was more than one day. Anyhow, it's been a good experience with him, even though he thought I was the mean guy. But anyhow, pray. God wants us to be salt and light to people. And, you know, I'm thinking, he don't want to talk to me. I'm just going to go home. You know, I want to pet the dog and drink a cup of coffee. Now I got to stop. You know, Satan's over here. No, go get the coffee. No, Holy Spirit's over here. No, you stop and talk to him. Fortunately, the Holy Spirit won that time. So I was intentional. I engaged that guy, and we've had fun ever since then. And he found out I'm not the mean guy. But if we pray for God, it's like if you pray for patience. What happens when you pray for patience? Something bad happens. Because you're going to have something that requires patience. Like this thing. And it's the same way. If you would just pray, God, give me one person that needs to see Jesus this week, and maybe I can develop a relationship. I mean, you'll get more than one. You'll get a handful. I'm convinced of that.
Amen.
There's no way
that
in the world that prayer won't be answered. So I'm asking you, pray that prayer this week to God to give you one person. Be open, we said, after a bit, if they, what we usually do is I'd say like, and I like meals, I'm a big meal guy, so I like, well, do you want to go get coffee? Let's go get breakfast, let's do whatever. And the Gospels, half the Gospels is either walking or sitting at some meal talking to somebody. I mean, you can think of them all, I'm not going to tell you all of them. So that's worked well for me. If I don't invite myself to their house or their garden, let's go get breakfast, let's go get lunch. This is no formula other than what I've done in my life, and it has worked for me. It's different for everybody else. I'm sure of that. I have not challenged anyone to memorize the books of the Bible, but he's quite successful at it. So anyhow, I think that you're going to, let's just say now you've prayed and you've, God gives you somebody either physically or brings them to your mind. Okay, now write down on your paper what your next steps are. What are you going to do about it? Okay, you've got this guy. For the boys, his name's Larry, and for the girls, her name is Matilda. So what are you going to do with Larry and Matilda? Just say, what are you going to do next? They're in your mind. That's usually how I do it. Because I'll say, like, if I wanted to spend time with Josh Broughton, I might buy an old crappy truck and say, Josh, we're going to spend the whole summer and fix this up. Or Jason Sharp. Jason Sharp was in junior high. We started butchering pigs together. He taught me how to butcher pigs. And I said, well, this is pretty fun. And Jason was probably in the seventh grade, and he stayed all night with us. And okay, so you're gonna contact them. What are you going to do when you contact them? What are you going to say? I said, let's work on a truck. You know, I think you got lots of talents. And they're like, Mary, you know, you could find somebody like Becca here that's that age and say, would you like to learn how to sew? What's she going to say? No. She's not going to say no. Becca, would you like to know how to sew stuff? Okay, too late. You can't have Becca now. But that's the idea. So while you're sewing, you're talking about Jesus, you develop a relationship, and you help each other mature. Well, there's other things you're going to have to decide, right? You're going to have to decide where we're going to meet, what are we going to talk about, how long is this going to go, is it every month, is it every week, is it whenever we feel like it? Do you know what I mean? There's lots of things you have to do. I keep little notebooks for my people, and so I can remember stuff, because I can't remember sometimes what the last thing is we talked about. And one thing that's important to me is that I use the word chemistry. Some people it just don't work with. I've had guys that I thought would be really into it and would really enjoy it and would be all over that. I introduced this concept at a breakfast and never hear from them again. They're like, no, that's Cromer. Don't make eye contact with Cromer anymore. So sometimes it don't work, and that's fine. Put them on the next year list and get them later.
But you still move on.
You still move on.
And still find somebody else.
You still have to find someone else, yes. And so there's an element of chemistry to it. And some people respond and some don't. We call them the responders.
Mm-hmm.
Some are responders and some are the I don't carers. Even though I was certain they would be amenable to this, they just don't want to. And so it's a question of timing. I'm too hyper. And they're not ready, and maybe they will next year. And maybe it'll be not me, but someone else.
Let's also talk about, you know, sometimes, you know, you're not the one, and sometimes I can relate to them, and you can't, you know, and sometimes we trade off, and sometimes, you know, that works well, but we all know that we have.
So I ask myself if we have chemistry, that we enjoy being together. And I also ask myself if they have a teachable spirit. Do they have a teachable spirit? Are they willing to learn? Are they willing to ask questions? Do they care if I ask them questions? Do they care if we figure out the answer to something together? That's important. To me, that's very important. They have to be willing to participate in this. The tag team was on page 2, but since he brought that up.
Well, you don't have to talk about
it. No, that's good.
That's okay.
Because sometimes when one of us will get frustrated, and it ain't working. It ain't working. I'm moving on. Okay, I'll take them. I did that once, and I don't know, it was like 5 different times. All I heard when I was with this guy was Mr. Master's stories. And so we trade. We call it the tag team method. And then sometimes I'll just talk about Josh Doubt. We both do Josh Dobb. He takes 2.
He ain't here to defend himself. Sorry about that.
But, you know, he likes us both. He has a teachable spirit. He wants to learn. I told him, I said, I'm going to ask Josh if he'll read a book with me. Because I didn't get to the books yet, but I'm a big, big, big book person. So I says, and then I just told him, I said, I'm going to ask Josh to read a book. He said, he won't read a book.
He ain't going to read that book.
He won't read a book. About 3 days later, I get this phone call.
Done read the book.
He said he'd read the book. So I bought this Tony Evans book called Kingdom Man, an excellent book for manly men. And so we've done three chapters already, and he's worked the last two Saturdays or something. So, but anyhow, they will read books, and Josh reads a book with Kingdom Man with me, and he does stuff with him, and he's getting two people pouring into him. So he's a neat kid. Okay, just what we've talked about. I want you to, I'm just going to assume that everybody has time for one more. So I think there's about 20 people here probably. We're going to have 20 prayers this week. We're going to have 20 prayers that say, God, give me one person, just one person. Show me one person. And then I want you to, if you can't talk to them this week, just think about them and go through all this stuff. Do they have a teachable spirit? Are they willing to take the time? Do we have chemistry together? And think about that. And if you can do it, approach them and explain that to them, and ask at least one spiritual question, okay? At least have one spiritual conversation with your disciple person.